Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And I'm very pleased to welcome the curator of the Doro Jewish Collection at the New York Public Library, Ludmila Sholokhova. And I go immediately to an example provided of 10 treasures from the Jewish collection. And I go to number 3, the earliest image of the North American continent in a Hebrew book. There's a globe quite clearly with all the continents demarcated. There's a sailing ship on one side of the globe. And on the other side, there is North America. Ludmila, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. This book that I'm looking at was published in Venice in 1707, Massa Tovia, or Work of Tobias. You work with these manuscripts all the time. I need to be very specific. When people come to the New York Public Library, how do they find you? What floor are you on? Where do we go? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Well, I'm in the building every day, and I have an office on the second floor. But people can just really come and knock on my door. But usually I love meeting people, and actually I'm being inspired by the people who come to use our collections, tell us about the research. It immediately gives me an impulse what else we can do, because my goal here to promote the collection. But you can reach me by email, and it's usually what people do. They contact me by email, and we set up an appointment, a research appointment. It could be formal, less formal, but that's what I'm usually doing.
It's all wonderful. So you knock on the door, and you'll introduce us to the collection. Malcolm?
We thank you very much for joining us. And when I first read that this is the 125th anniversary, I started looking into a little bit about the library, and I'm ashamed that I haven't been there. I remember events there many, many years ago, but you now have a collection of 250,000 different materials from all over the world. The oldest one, I think, from the 13th century. So tell us a little bit, how did the collection start? Who inspired it? And how did it sustain over all these years?
That's a very good question. Just wanted to say that I was inspired by this collection from the very beginning. I began only 2 years ago. And to my surprise, it's 2 years. I was actually amazed by the rich history of this collection. When we began working online, remotely, and I was sitting at home and reading all kind of materials on the history of the division. And this is how I learned. And so the division was established in 1897, 2 years after the Jewish collection in general, 2 years after the whole library was established in 1895. And I think the Jewish collection at the beginning, it was a very small collection of about 300 books. And there were no curator, and there were no reading room. And these books occupied only one corner at the big Astor Library building on the Lower East Side, downtown. And so there was not much there for about next 2 years. And then I think Jacob Henry Schiff, who actually before then helped Jewish Theological Library to to establish their library and to actually to fund the whole building of the Jewish Theological Seminary. And I think he also contributed to the establishment of the Hebrew Union College Library. So, but he was based in New York and he helped a lot of organizations here. And I think his love for education brought him to the New York Public Library. And he had connections there. His friend, John Kennedy, was one of the supporters of the library. And I know that Jacob Schiff always looked for fresh ideas. And he was very generous. And he, after discussing the issue with Kennedy, that was brought to the attention of the library director at that time, John Shaw Billings, and some Billings and Schiff established really good connection. It was, they had a good chemistry. And Billings understood the importance of the library, of the Jewish, of the future Jewish divisions, the needs for the collection. So they clicked. And Schiff immediately offered $10,000 to establish the collection, to buy new books, and also to hire the new curator, like the first curator, actually. That person was Abraham Preidus, a legendary Jewish bibliographer, immigrant from Latvia, who already worked for the library, but in a different department, in the cataloging department.
You chose, Ludmilla, I want to celebrate these choices that you made about the, to celebrate the 125th anniversary. So I'm looking at a book printed in 1735, A Grammar of the Hebrew Tongue. This was printed for the Hebrew course at Harvard College. You have that in your collection. If someone comes, you can guide them and show them where the book is and they can study it. Is that correct?
That is correct. This book is cataloged and available. Because it's a rare book, it cannot be just really shown to just without the appointment. The rare book materials, manuscripts, they require like an advanced appointment. And I'm the person who coordinates all these appointments. So basically, that's the benefit of this. I actually meeting every single researcher using our rare materials. So this book is available by appointment, but appointments are for everyone.
I see. Yes. Malcolm?
So you, the library was the home for Eliezer Ben Yehuda during World War I, who helped recreate the living language of Hebrew as the Zionist dream was fulfilled and that Israel recreated. So do you continue to be collecting? Number one, is the collection growing? Number two, do you still see people coming there who are writing books, who are doing research, in-depth research, on topics related to Jewish historical themes? I mean, you have just the collection of Haggadot, the story, the Passover Seder book is remarkable, having the Venice Haggadah, which I didn't realize, let alone the Amsterdam Haggadah, both in your collection.
Yes, that's excellent. Well, excellent question. First of all, yes, Eliezer Ben Yehuda worked on the premises of the library, and he came here in 1914, and because because of Schiff's connection to the library, and because of the that the American ambassador in the Ottoman Empire was also New York based and a friend and belonged to all the like really circle of Jewish circle of supporters of Zionism. It was possible to arrange for Ben Yehuda a special room in the library that was also on the second floor where I'm located, really obviously, just across the hall from the former, from the first Jewish reading room. So, and Freydis worked with him very closely. Then, so your second question was about, do we still buy the books?
Right. Do you still seek acquisitions? Are you getting, there are many people who have old books, and I know it's very hard because most libraries won't take them. Are you open to it?
And we have, Ludmilla, we still have 30 seconds. Please go ahead.
We only accept donations very selectively. We need to make sure that we do not have these books already. And I'm in constant touch with these people. I ask them to send the list, and we check the list, and then we accept only the books that we do not have.
Dr. Ludmila Sholokhova is curator of the Doro Jewish Collection at the New York Public Library, which is the big building with fancy steps that you climb. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.